I know we make fun of him a lot because he's a total idiot, but congratulations to our good friend Josh Peterson over the weekend.
Yes, I didn't know where you were going. There were a number of avenues.
there's a lot of idiots out there. But he's our idiot.
That's right.
Josh Peterson ran 26.2 miles in 2 hours and 47 minutes over the weekend.
It's impressive.
And Nick still thinks he could eat a hot dog in 10 seconds.
Well, the bun was so chewy.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Congratulations to him. That was really cool. The picture of him crossing the finish line was sweet.
He set a goal and he did the damn thing.
Yeah, he takes it super seriously and he's very, very good at it. And so he ran the Eugene Marathon over the weekend. I think is he out this entire week or is he back at some point?
What's his vacation board say?
Yeah,
he's out all week.
He's out all week.
Yeah, I'm filling in for him on Friday.
Now he'll be recovering and gallivanting around the Pacific Northwest. But a hearty shout out to our good friend, unsportsmanlike conduct co-host Josh Peterson, who ran a marathon in a very, very fast time. I will not say that I can run a marathon.
Okay.
So just making sure that everybody knew about that.
Crystal clear on this.
Cannot run a marathon.
Can land a plane.
Under the right circumstances. Once again, under the right circumstances. Planes are amazing, though. I watched some planes take off, like, right, because I was kind of downtown. They just took off right before the storms hit. They're like, well, we got to get out of here. Like, and probably a good thing that they did, because the airport got some pretty serious damage on that other side there. But yeah, good job. Job well done from our good friend Josh Peterson. Okay, the spring game happened. Well, one of the things we usually do the Monday after a game is we say, who won? Josh, who won? You got a 50-50 shot. Who won?
The white team.
You're right. You got it. The flip of the coin came up your way.
Whew.
Nice job. The white team won.
That's right. Big day for the whites.
Bonus points. The score.
Oh, 24-21?
25-21.
That's not a football score.
25-21. Nope, people score 25 sometimes.
Apparently.
Sometimes you get a two-point conversion to make it 22, and then you get a field goal to make it 25. It happens.
All right.
But the score is not the story. This is about another guy. Dylan Raiola.
Oh, sure, but 12 times a year when we try and tell you that, no, the team looks pretty good even though they lost, you tell us, no, the score is all that matters.
So the stats are you have to add up what he did for the white team and what he did for the red team. Dylan was much more efficient for the red team, by the way.
Interesting.
6 of 6 for 118 yards and 2 touchdowns. And 10 of 16 in a pick and 121 yards for the... Was he sandbagging the white team?
Apparently, clearly.
And he still couldn't do it. Also, not about the stats, Josh. Because Nebraska has themselves a quarterback. Now, as our good friend Steve Sipple would say, you got to be careful here. You got to be a little bit careful considering the circumstances. But my takeaway is, I assume the same as I've read and listened to a little bit of the reaction from over the weekend. Did the pod with Mitch this morning. I assume my reaction is the same as everybody else. I obviously, like, when you get a 5-star quarterback, you are infatuated with the idea that he can make these plays that just and make these throws that aren't there for other people and that exist for him and all that stuff. Like, and I still am. So I think the ceiling is obviously really high for him. I went into the game because he's a freshman quarterback, working on the general idea of, he's a freshman quarterback, right? So we're going to get a whole bunch of wow stuff. But it wouldn't surprise me if the real guts and the real bones of being a quarterback lag behind a little bit, which isn't a problem. It's not a problem. Once again,
right?
When you get a 5-star quarterback, your ceiling goes up exponentially. But I think my biggest takeaway from Saturday was that the floor has gone up dramatically with Nebraska football this year, because you're going to have exceedingly competent quarterback play, exceedingly competent. And that, I know it doesn't sound like the biggest Kool-Aid in the world, and I'm not talking about him winning Heismans or whatever it is, but competent quarterback play makes me, I mean, it makes me a really happy boy, Josh. He just, and so I was just so impressed with the simple stuff. He just looked so advanced, and I'm not talking about the throws. Like, the throws were, I knew the throws were going to be there. I knew he was going to make the throws. I knew he was going to make a couple splash plays in the game. And so what I was looking for is some of the other stuff. And a lot of times for a quarterback his caliber, the simple stuff actually ends up being the advanced stuff. You know, it's not a linear growth path for a quarterback like that. But he had poise. He had leadership. He had this kind of sense of calm, but also being able to kind of press the right buttons when they wanted to go tempo and stuff like that. Like, when you think of a freshman his caliber, you're going to get some wow stuff, and we certainly got some wow stuff. But he looked amazingly competent, amazingly competent. His effect on Nebraska's offense compared to last year will be far-reaching because of his competency. Nebraska's ceiling is related to his ceiling. Those ceilings are tied together. But Nebraska's floor is related to the little stuff that he'll do. And he'll get the ball out quick. He'll put it on target. He did throw behind that one time, and it led to interception. Was it his fault? No, of course not. The guy had his hands on it. Not his fault. He took responsibility for it, though, after the game. Little stuff. Little stuff like that. And so, yeah, I from that perspective, I don't think it could have gone much better for him. He had a couple throwaways that I was like, whoa, what are you throwing the ball away for? This is a spring game, and you have a giant arm. Like, you're supposed to throw it 80 yards down the field and just see what happens. No, he made the smart play. He made the smart play. Nebraska can, you know, in a real-life game situation, maybe that's on 3rd and 12, and you avoid disaster, and you punt, and you live to fight another day. That is the stuff that really fired me up.
That was what that drive towards the end of the first half, where Matt Rhule, they were like on their own 6, and then they had a false start, which backed them up 3 yards instead of 5. I don't know why, but Matt Rhule said, yeah, I'm not looking for him to score a touchdown here. I'm looking to see if he can get 2 or 3 first downs, and we punt the ball, and we win. Because today, like, yeah, everybody wants to see him go 99 yards, but in October, November, I need him to get 2 or 3 first downs, and we punt the ball away and fight another series.
Because the challenge with quarterbacks of his caliber is that they have such a big arm, mm-hmm. and they have so much belief in themselves that they sometimes think they're capable of things that just get them hurt in college football games, especially at his age, right? I've made this throw before. I've leaned on this in my ability in the past to either extend plays or throw the ball down the field recklessly in a high school game. So why can't I do it here? I was the best player, and I can make all of the throws. And so a lot of times what you'll see with freshmen is you'll see it with, you know, really talented guys beyond their freshman year. They will make mistakes because of their capabilities. And to have him, when he's supposed to be a senior in high school, have that much calm, and we'll see what happens when the lights are on, right? Like, but he doesn't seem like a guy that's all, you know, he's gonna freak out when the lights turn on in September or August 31st. Like, no, I mean, if it's not there, it's not there. We'll live. We'll fight another time. I'm not saying he's going to be devoid of mistakes, but how much he is devoid of mistakes is going to tell a lot of the story about this season. And what we saw was a great glimpse into how few mistakes he's going to make. Nebraska turned the football over 31 times last year. 31 times. So it was always going to be better. It was always going to be better. But, I mean, he has the look of a guy who could obviously make the splashes, but will also protect Nebraska, understanding what's around him and the capabilities of his team, and that his defense, should be pretty good as well. Josh, let's head to the video here. So if you're prepared for that, when you are, just let me know.
I am. I believe myself to be prepared.
Okay, hit buttons. Smash those buttons a little more. See what happens.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So here is Matt Rhule. We'll have several video. Once again, join us on YouTube or 1620thezone.com. We're trying to do this thing where we just, instead of just playing the audio and we sit here and we stare off into space while listening to the audio and you watch us, we're trying to help out the YouTube crowd a little bit. So join us there. We'll have video for you guys. This is, of course, courtesy of Nebraska Athletics. Here is Matt Rhule. The question is in here. You'll hear it from Brian Christopherson. I think it was a really good one, and it really stumped Matt Rhule. Was that a good representation of how Dylan Raiola had been performing all spring? I thought that was asked very smartly by BC. Here is Matt Rhule. I can't hear him, though, Josh. Can we hear him now? No. How we doing? How we doing? Let me know. Okay.
Is that a pretty fitting summary of Dylan's spring?
That's a great question. I don't know how to answer that, to be honest with you. Usually, I don't get tongue twisted very often. But
okay. Now let's pause there real quick. Let's just set this up. Because what he could have said was,
yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
He's really freaking good. And I don't know how you guys don't know this yet. But he didn't. So we'll continue on. Here you go, Matt.
Matt. I'm playing. You know.
I'm still learning. I'm sorry.
Okay. Are we good?
That's a great question. I don't know how to answer that, to be honest with you. Usually, I don't get tongue twisted very often, but I think Dylan's had a very good spring. The plays I liked. I was up doing the radio, TV at one point. That one where we kicked a field goal that we missed. You could see he wanted so badly to throw the ball back across the middle of the field as he was scrambling, and he didn't. The one scrambling in's probably a sack. But he's got two hands on the ball as he's running, so. It's gonna be the little things with Dylan, not the big things, right? He's got a great feel for the game. He's got a big time arm. He's calm. It's gonna be the little things. It's gonna be protecting the football, taking three, managing the game. I thought it just felt like he did a lot of those things, but he hasn't done all of them. He's grown as the spring's gone on. So he, like all the rest of our players, I think, had a chance today to just improve on what they did last week, and I thought in a lot of ways he did.
It's gonna be the little things, not the big things. And that's basically what I was saying before. I mean, we know he could do the big things. We know he had – that's not the part that's so exciting to me yet. It will be. Mm-hmm. It will be. And at some point, he's going to have to bail Nebraska out.
There will be a time for bleep it Trey Palmer down there somewhere.
Absolutely. And they might have that combo with Jalen Lloyd, mm-hmm, as we saw it on display a little bit on Saturday. But I was blown away, I guess, is strong, because I don't know what I expected, but he did the operational thing so well. And that is going to fuel, like I said, his effect on the team is wide ranging. But from, to put it into one category, it's this. Nebraska's floor is astronomically higher than it was last year because they have this guy at quarterback. Their ceiling is really quite a bit higher as well. But Nebraska's floor is significantly higher because he's not going to put the ball in harm's way too much. Once again, never say just point blank that he's not going to put the ball in harm's way.
I did notice there was one snap mishandled that
he
immediately dove on and didn't try and do anything more than dive on the ball.
But he's got the accuracy, he's got the touch, all that stuff in the passing game. But I'm just thinking operational stuff. How do we get guys? And he went the wrong way on a play action, and I don't know if that was him or the design or whatever it might have been for the play there, but. Like, there will be things that pop up, but it just – remember how Nebraska's offense – and part of this is because you played three different quarterbacks and you didn't really know who you were last year.
Yeah.
remember how Nebraska's offense was just so frantic? And it just felt like they were always trying to figure something out where they could, you know, find a 50-yard deep ball down the field. Like, this is a group, we'll talk about the running game during the show as well. If you can complete short passes, which I saw no reason to believe that he won't be able to do that, if you could complete short passes and get things going, Nebraska's going to have long drives this year. They're going to be able to matriculate the ball down the field quite well. And if you pair that along with less turnovers, significantly less turnovers, maybe cut them in half or more, whatever, and
defense get a couple?
And that defense, yeah, you're really cooking with fire. Let me go back to just real quick the drive chart from last year, just so I can remind you guys how crappy it was.
Oh, man.
So we're talking about matriculating the ball downfield. Nebraska averaged about 5.4 plays per drive last year. Plays per drive. Only 5.4.
That can't be very good.
20% of their drives ended in three and out. That's not just how many times they punted. That's how many times they went three and out. It was a boomer bust offense. Mm-hmm. This is not a boomer bust offense. And it will not be a boomer bust offense. So that's where my hype is. If I don't sound excited, I apologize because I really, really am.
Don't put it on the internet that I was underwhelmed.
I am so excited for competency at that spot. You know, that's where I'm at. A couple texts from you guys. But Connor, he fumbled a snap. Josh mentioned that.
I did. We brought it up.
He did. But
they didn't fumble eight snaps like last spring.
Did it end in a turnover?
It did not.
No. Just a little loss of yards. And I mean, that's where, I mean, we were talking about his ceiling. That's a whole different conversation. I mean, his ceiling, let's say they botched two snaps in a row and they're in third and 17. Like, okay, you have the floor part, which is, we'll get a few yards here. We'll dump it down. We'll run a draw play. We'll get to fourth and 14 or fourth and 10, and we'll just boot it. Or, if you feel like the moment's right, let him cook. He's got that in his game, too. So you got options, right? That's just something. We'll talk about Nebraska's offense in totality a little bit later in the show, but they have options, which opens everything up. We'll talk about that coaching staff as well, because it feels like a team that's pretty well self-scouted. From Dan.
Hi, Dan.
On the text line. Calm down. He didn't even run the option. Kidding, of course. Thank you for mentioning that. You're kidding. I would have taken that very seriously. He did not run the option. He did. I mean, he did run a version of the option. The run pass option.
He opted to pass.
Yep. So let's roll this thing, Josh. Hype train's off and running. We got Iowa fans that are scared. Like Bill Moose said, Ohio State, Urban Meyer's running scared right now. Like, I don't know. This will save this for when Nebraska's, you know, going into the Iowa game 4-7 or something like that. But like,
no,
the league,
we're done with that.
This there's no division anymore. But like, I think there's been this kind of thing under the surface with the league where it's been like, man, if Nebraska just somehow figured out to get out of their own way, we'd be in trouble. We'd be in real big trouble because that'd be another team that's just right in the mix automatically. Nebraska may have figured out a way to get out of their own way. They did it the hard way and got a 5-star quarterback, but they appear to be a team who is capable of getting out of their own way. The simple stuff. It was a great debut. It was a great start for Dylan Raiola, who, yes, is going to be your starter, in case you were wondering. I know Heinrich Harburg took the first series.
He took the first series, and he looked a lot better than I thought he would in that game.
I think that's a great example of of what we're going to talk about with the offense. They have a good understanding of what each of those guys can do. He definitely has developed.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, That's not his style to throw, you know, short passes and move him down the field that way. He's more of a boom guy. But now, obviously, he's got some bust in there as well. But he's gotten better as well. We'll hear from Schaefer at the bottom of the hour on all of this stuff, and I want to get your thoughts. So bring them to us at Happer Show, at Connor Happer on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed, and get into the offense in general. And I want to tell you, coming back next with a little bit more video, who my new favorite player is. That's right, Josh.
Oh.
I have a new favorite football player.
Wouldn't be the Monday after the spring game without that.
That's exactly right. Coming back on 1620 The Zone.